32, Genesis chapter number 32, Genesis 32, we'll be looking this evening at the latter part of the passage of Scripture, this chapter, verses 24 through 32. Last week, we had the opportunity to study the first 23 verses, and we dealt with Jacob as he prepared to meet Esau, and obeying the instruction that the Lord had given him, Jacob was returning home, and the Bible tells us that he sent messengers ahead, and as he sent those messengers ahead, they returned to him, saying that we came to thy brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you, and he's got 400 men with him. And of course, that caused Jacob to have a measure of concern, because his last encounter with Esau was, of course, after he had stolen the blessing and the deception and all that took place. And Esau said, I'm going to kill him after I'm done mourning the death of my father. And of course, mom told him to go away for a short time. It turned into over 20 years. And we find that Jacob then hears this information. And after hearing about Esau coming and having the men with him, we find, as we dealt with last week, that he seeks the face of the Lord, and then he prepares a present for Esau and strategically set up the camp. We're told in verse number 24 of our text of Scripture that the Bible says this, and he took them, and sorry, in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. Now just pause there for a moment. We'll read the rest of the verse and down through the end of the chapter in just a moment. But I want you to think about all that's just taken place as Jacob is seeking to obey the instruction that the Lord has given to return to the land of his fathers. And he comes to this place. He sends these messengers. He hears that Esau's coming and the band of men that are with them. And he's concerned. He's troubled. He has this thought that Esau's going to do him harm, perhaps even killing his wives and children. And we find that Jacob is now in a position where the Bible says that he's left alone. There's a little doubt in my mind that Jacob is full of concern. I believe that if I could look in this passage and thinking about Jacob and what we know about him, I would say that even if this did not transpire the way that it does, that it would be some trouble for Jacob to sleep this evening. Ever have a sleepless night? Just struggling with something, something's on your mind, on your heart, something that you're concerned about. And Jacob here, I believe that he was full of concern, and his reunion with his brother Esau drew near. The Bible tells us that when he's left there alone, notice what the Bible says in verse 24, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It's a long night. The Bible says in verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I've titled the message, Jacob's Encounter with God. It was a long night. It was a life-altering night. You think about all that had transpired in these hours that God records for us, and there's just a few verses of Scripture that detail it for us, but I consider how this long night turned into a life-altering night for Jacob. As we look at this text of Scripture, I believe that God gives us three specific things that would serve as reminders in Jacob's life. By the way, we need reminders in our lives. We need to be reminded of God's blessing, of God's goodness. It's good for us to set up memorials. Obviously, this isn't Memorial Day type of time of year. We're in February, and we have Memorial Day as a nation in May. But we understand that throughout the Bible, as you read the pages of Scripture, that often you will read of memorials that had been set up. The purpose of being reminded of something so that some event did not lose its impact upon the people so that they would not forget about it. As human beings, we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We begin to deal with a particular storm and a difficulty in our lives, and we forget about how good God has been and what God has done in our lives. We find this evening that as we look at a number of, or as we could reference a number of memorials throughout the Scripture, I believe here as we look at this text of Scripture, that in Jacob's life personally, there are three things that would serve as a reminder, continual reminder to this man of this night, his encounter with God. Notice with me as you look at the text of Scripture, notice the first of these three reminders. The first is a name change. A name change. The Bible tells us in verse number 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." In verse 27, it says, "And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob." Now, Jacob knew that was his name. Just as I were to ask each of you this evening, what's your name? You know what your name is. You've carried that name with you, and you know, you have an understanding. And we find that Jacob answers the question, and he says that his name is Jacob. And I want you to notice in verse 28, the Bible tells us that he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." He'd had this name for a long time, his whole life up until this point. There's some interesting data that you could look at to try to figure out about how old Jacob is at this particular time. But he'd had this name, and you think about having a name change. You look throughout the remainder portion of the book of Genesis, and you look back and you begin to think about how Jacob would be referred to. In fact, many times he's still referred to as Jacob. He's not always exclusively referred to as Israel from this point forward. There are many times in which he's referenced as Jacob, but you will find times in which he's referenced as Israel. And I began to think about this passage of Scripture and this reminder for Jacob and this the significance of this name change. And as we begin to think about this, and I want you to think about how often you hear your name. Someone asks you, "What's your name?" When Jacob would travel, when he'd go to Egypt, and near the end of his life, "Hey, what's your name?" And you think about the interactions that we have one with another, and I believe that any time that Jacob would say his name was Israel, it would serve as a reminder of this night when his name changed. Anyone ever ask you how you got your name? How'd you get your name? Sometimes we get our name, maybe it's just because our parents like the name, and there's really no good story behind it. But sometimes there's a particular story behind it. I'm a junior, and obviously there's some level of significance with being a junior, and the name that I bear being that of my dad. And several people have asked us why we didn't name our son Christopher so that he'd be the third. Well, because Joseph is my favorite Bible character. And so therefore I desired that if God would give us a son, that his name would be Joseph. And beside that, I don't like my middle name. but the reality is that, you know, you talk about Juliana and Brianna, we really don't have any good reason as to, there's no real thought behind it except for Holly and I like the names. It was a good thing we didn't have another girl because we couldn't agree on another third girl's name that ended with Anna. And she had one desire, I had a different, and then God gave us a boy, amen, and so it all worked out. But you talk to some people and there's some real significance with their name. And I want you to think about biblical times. And I want you to think about other cultures and the opportunity within a number of cultures, even still to this very day, that there's much significance with regard to their name. And here the Bible says that thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. I think about the name change. What a reminder. A reminder for this man. I think about the significance here, and obviously thinking about Israel, this new name that he would have, and obviously thinking about the nation and all of the significance throughout the remainder of Scripture and what have you. But as I begin to think about this significance of this particular time in the life of Jacob, and I think about the truth that we've looked at in previous portions of Scripture in the book of Genesis, where the old man and the new man, I begin to think about Jacob and Israel and thinking about this encounter with God and thinking about all of the significance. And this evening, this name change would serve as a reminder of what happened, this encounter that he had with God. I notice not only a name change, but I notice a location. I want you to note with me in verse number 1 of Genesis 32, the Bible says that Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim, however you want to say that. And you see, though, in verse number 30, that the Bible tells us that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. It's then referred to in verse number 31 as Penuel. And we find that the Bible tells us that he passed over Penuel and the sun arose upon him. There's no more reference about this particular place in Jacob's life and Israel's life that he ever visited this place again. As you study Scripture, you're not going to find any references to Jacob or Israel with regard to this particular location. But I do want you to think about the significance of naming this place. The Bible says that he chose the name, that he called the name of the place. Now, you and I, we don't typically have the opportunity to name a city what we want to name it. We don't have that privilege. We don't have that opportunity in the day and age in which we live. But there were times in human history when that has happened, that people, as they would go and they would settle particular pieces of land and they would go and move out, they would be able to name towns and name cities. And we find the significance of that. You can read it throughout Scripture and other aspects and other people. But here we find that Jacob, because of the experience that he had, because of this encounter with God, because of all that had taken place, this long night that was a life-altering night, the Bible says that his name was changed and his name would be Israel, but the Bible says that he named the place. And it's significant what he named the place. Notice what the Bible says, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." It's interesting as we note the name that Jacob, Israel, would choose to name this place and the significance of that name and what Jacob would understand. I begin to think about in the life of Jacob and any time that he would consider a place that he's been, and maybe even as we have opportunity from time to time to talk about travels and different places that we've been, I think that Jacob, Israel, would hold this place as a very special place in his heart, in his life. Why? Because of what happened there. And he didn't just leave that place and move forward and go and meet his brother, as we read in chapter 33, the reunion that is mentioned there. But we find that he took the time, and God took the time to record for us that Jacob named this place. So we see that there's a name change, there's a location that is named. But I really want to focus on this last thought this evening. I think it's the most significant reminder in the life of Israel, Jacob. The Bible tells us that there wrestled a man with him in verse 24 until the breaking of the day. And it tells us in verse number 25, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," notice what the Bible says, "he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." It says in verse number 31 that as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. Notice what it says, "and he halted upon his thigh." We talked about a name change, a location, but I want you to think about a limp. A limp. The Bible tells us that he halted upon his thigh. The Bible tells us that God, this no doubt a pre-incarnate of Christ, a Christophanies, if you will, we see that the book of Hosea references in the 12th chapter this particular encounter. And we find here that Jacob, though he asks the name, the Lord does not give him his name, for we know that it's, "You already know who I am." Because he says in verse number 30, as he names the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved," yet he'd asked him his name. And we find that God did not give him his name, for God had made it clear who it was that wrestled with him that night. And the Bible tells us that God touched the hollow of his thigh. And God tells us that the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and then he halted upon his thigh. No doubt this limp that Israel would have, I would argue, not sure that you could be dogmatic about it, but I would argue that he had this limp for the remainder of his days. I want you to think about the remainder of his days and the limp that he would have and the constant reminder that that limp would provide in Israel's life. I want you to think about Israel as he would walk from place to place. You know, they didn't have automobiles. They walked. Occasionally they'd ride on animals, right? They'd get a donkey or a camel or whatever it would be. But a lot of times they walked from place to place. And they had a limp. And every time he'd walk, every time he'd be thinking about that limp, he'd be reminded of this encounter that he had with God. I want you to think about this. You ever see somebody that has a limp? Somebody that you know. Maybe even somebody that you don't know. You see him with a limp. And maybe, I know sometimes I do this in my own life, especially if I know the person, I'll say something like this: what happened? You ever do that? You inquire. Armando comes walking in here, he's got a limp. I said, Armando, what happened? Can you imagine Israel? What happened? What does it immediately remind him of this encounter that he has with God and how God touched the hollow of his thigh? And as I mentioned a moment ago, I would argue that he had this limp for the remainder of his days, that he would be reminded of what God did that night, that encounter that he had. The Bible tells us, turn over to the book of Hebrews, if you will, in the 11th chapter. We know that Israel had an opportunity, lived for a number of years after this encounter, has a great reunion with his brother Esau in chapter 33. We'll study that in the next couple of weeks. And we find that eventually, after a number of events transpire, that he ends up going to Egypt. We're familiar with that. We understand what takes place. He has the opportunity to be able to be there in Egypt, and he meets Pharaoh, and he's in the presence of Pharaoh, and all of these things that take place. But I think that for Israel, this limp would serve as a reminder. See, none of us like to limp. It's kind of a hindrance to limp, isn't it? You know what I mean? Natalie came in this morning. She hurt her ankle playing basketball yesterday. She's got crutches. Natalie, is it easy getting up and down the stairs with those crutches? No, it's more difficult, right? You want to get rid of the crutches, right? But you're using the crutches because you're injured, because you have a... And so you think about Mr. Don. You see him so often with a cane, and he's got that bad knee, and he walks with that limp, and it's a hindrance. He says to me often, he'll say, if I could just get this knee replaced, I could run again. But this limp, more than being a hindrance, would be a reminder in the life of Israel. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, the great Hall of Faith chapter, notice what the Bible says in verse number 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, this is when he's in Egypt, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, notice what the Bible says, leaning upon the top of his staff. I know and I understand that many people would use a staff, whether they had a limp or not, but I think that this staff that Israel had from this day forward served more than one purpose. Helped give him stability because of this limp, because of his the fact that God touched the hollow of his thigh. And the Bible tells us that he blessed the sons of Joseph and he was leaning upon that staff. This evening, I wonder, in our lives, I wonder, are there some reminders that God has given us? Are there some things in our lives that we've set up as memorials? Listen, I'm thankful that I've not had this kind of limp that Jacob, Israel, has in our text of Scripture. But wouldn't it be wonderful if God would give us something like that, that would serve as a constant reminder of our encounter with God? I'm thankful that God met with Jacob. Jacob was there and he prayed, as we mentioned last week, and he had gone through the process of preparing the present to send to his brother and strategically setting up the camp. And he was left there alone, there wrestled with him a man, pre-incarnate Christ. And we find that this particular encounter would change his life forever. It was a long night, but it was a life-altering night. What's your name? Israel. How'd you get that name? Can you imagine immediately the thoughts? He didn't get it from his parents. He wasn't named Israel at his birth. He was Jacob. But his name was changed. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel. Where did that happen? Well, it happened at this place. Actually, I named the place. And I gave it a name that was significant because it was at that place that I saw God face to face and my life was preserved. Have you ever been to that place? Have you been to Penuel? Can you imagine? I mean, your sanctified imagination. Just think about Israel having these conversations. You notice the limp. Everywhere you go. You're not getting better. It's not going to recover. No, God's left me this way to remind me. Think about the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We often think about the Apostle Paul. The Bible tells us that he had a thorn in the flesh, right? And you read that passage. Look over there just briefly, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice what the Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture. And I see the Apostle Paul as he is seeking to have relief from this. And no doubt we each would probably pray the same way that Paul prayed, that he would be delivered. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." I don't blame him. I don't think you would either. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 9, the answer to this request. "The Lord said to him, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly," notice what Paul says, "most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul had this thorn in the flesh. As a reminder for him, that God's grace was sufficient. As a reminder to him, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Notice in verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." Wow. He's glorying in infirmities and he's taking pleasure in infirmities. We need to go back to school with Paul. Amen? Seriously. Because typically that's not my nor your response to infirmities. In reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. Notice what he says, "For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." For when I am weak, then I am strong. This evening, when I look at the latter portion of Genesis chapter 32, this encounter that Jacob has with God, it's a life-altering evening. It's a long night. The Bible says they left alone, but the wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It was a long night. It was a life-changing night. I wonder this evening, I know that our name hasn't been changed. None of us have a limp as a result of the same thing that Jacob has dealt with. None of us have named a city that I'm aware of. But I wonder tonight, there's some things that God has done in your life, some memorials that you can think of. Something that you can set up and say, this is a reminder for me of what God has done for me. That I would not get to a place where I forget who I serve, who He is, what He's done for me. That I would not be exalted above measure, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. See, we need some memorials in our lives. And these three things are very tangible things that God did specifically in Israel's life that serve as reminders. But each one of us need reminders. We need to be reminded of our time with God. Do you remember the day that you got saved? I hope you do. So often when I talk to people about being saved, I encourage them to write down the date. I know that not all of us remember the date that we got saved. Maybe no one encouraged you to write that date down. But I wrote the date down when I got saved. Someone encouraged me to do so. And so I don't really celebrate in the same sense of using that word, but I twice a year think about a birthday. I have a physical birthday. It's in July. But more importantly, I have a spiritual birthday. It's in August. I know the date. My family knows the date. And on that day, they'll say, "Happy spiritual birthday." It's a blessing to me. It's a reminder for me. Because on that day, my life changed. My life changed. You might not remember the exact day, but I hope you can remember the circumstances surrounding. You can think about, oh, that's when I met the Lord. That's when my life changed. And in a certain sense, He gave us a new name because we identify with Christ. When you trust that Christ is your Savior, you become a Christian. Identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. I'm His child. What a blessing. I know that we don't walk around and say, "My name's Christian," unless your name really is Christian. But I'll tell you one thing. When I meet somebody named Christian, I'll say, "Hey, that's a good name. Do you know what it means to be a Christian?" It's a great opportunity. It's their name. In fact, anyone that I find that has a name that's a Bible name, I say, "Man, that's a great Bible name. Do you know about them?" "Well, I don't have any idea." That's typically the response I get. They were called Christians first at Antioch. The Bible tells us the book of Acts. And we bear His name because of what He's done in our lives. And this evening, I hope that we would have, as we look at this passage, just a few verses of an encounter that Jacob, who became Israel that night, had with God. God gave him those reminders. And for us this evening, I hope that you have some things that you can be reminded of your time with God, that encounter when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Oh, that we'd never forget it, that we'd never lose sight of it, that we'd never get over our salvation, that we would rejoice greatly in who we are in Christ. We are new creatures. We've been transformed. We're heaven bound. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the privilege that You've given us to study this portion of Scripture, to look at the life of Jacob. And this night, he's so concerned about so many things. His reunion with his brother drew nigh. And You met with him. You changed his name. He named a place. And he left with a limp. God, I pray, I believe this evening that Israel came to a place in his life where he had an appreciation for that limp because of what it reminded him of. An appreciation for his name because of what it reminded him of. God, I pray that You would help us this evening to have some memorials, some reminders in our lives. Thank You for meeting with us. Thank You for saving us. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity even this evening as we will observe the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. It's a table of memorial. "This do in remembrance of Me" is what You said. Lord, we're so thankful for the privilege, the opportunity that we have to observe the Lord's Supper. I pray that You'd meet with us in a special way these next few moments. I pray that as we have a time of invitation, that we would examine ourselves, that we would be prepared spiritually for the observing of the Lord's Supper. We pray that You'd move and work during these few moments of invitation as only You can. We'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?